You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, your host, and I'm looking forward to another fantastic episode where we continue our series talking about discipleship. And those of you that are regular listeners to the podcast know that the guys from Ministry Accelerator and I have partnered together on a project where we're doing some research right now to help figure out what can the church do with discipleship and with parents, and how do we partner together, because that's been a hot topic in a lot of different Facebook groups. In fact, there's been a lot of discussions in the kid ministry world about what discipleship of kids looks like today. And because we know the challenge of church attendance and those kind of things, it's becoming a lot harder to disciple kids. And so now the church is starting to say, okay, parents, where are you? And they throw Deuteronomy 6 up and all these kind of things. And I've also noticed, and I'm going to say this with all the love that I can, but there's been a lot of negativity towards parents. And my guest and I are going to get into talking about some of this, and we're going to look at what does it mean for the church to say parents are the primary faith giver, and what does it mean when we say that the church is failing parents or the parents are failing the kids. We're going to talk about some of that kind of stuff today in this episode, because we want to try to knock it around a little bit and figure out what should the kid ministry world be focusing on. Are we focusing on the right things? And what can we do to help families win? And what can we do to help children grow up in a solid faith, one where they're becoming disciples and making disciples? So in this episode, that's what we're going to be doing as we go. And my guest today is Bill Gunter, a.k.a. Commander Bill, known to some in the Awana world like that. But to me, he's my friend Bill. It's been a while since we've had you back on the KMC, so welcome back, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. You wrote a very interesting and intriguing blog post that probably was the catalyst to this episode, because we wanted to talk about this. And I know this is something that's a passion for you. It's something that you feel very personal about. As somebody who had kids in kids ministry before you were in ministry, and then you got into ministry, so you really do have both sides of it. I understand it. I've had kids in kids ministry as well, at the same time as while I'm leading, and I think you feel the same way, that you've sensed this negativity that really is dangerous in the kid ministry circles. And so you wrote this blog article called Confession, I Was That Parent. I'm going to encourage people to go on to Commander Bill's blog, and he'll give you that address at the end of the program, and we'll try to put it on our page as well, so that you can get a direct link to his blog and that kind of thing. But give us a Reader's Digest version of that, because that'll kind of give us the umbrella of what we're going to talk about.
The real basic version or content is, like you said, children's ministry directors are talking about parents and their role in discipleship, and they have certain expectations of parents. And even now, I sit in meetings at conferences and Facebook and all over the place, and hear about how parents aren't meeting up to their expectations. And as a parent, you know, I just felt they were getting a bad rap, and so it's, you know, it's a confession. I was that parent. I'm that parent they're talking about. In regard to Awana, I wasn't working with my child in their handbook every week. I didn't know what section they were on, where they were at in their handbook. We didn't sit down with that formal Bible, that 5-minute Bible reading time, maybe singing a worship song, and then having a time of prayer and kind of the formatted things that people talk about. It was a lifestyle of teaching my kids about God, taking them to church so they can learn about God with their peers and with other people besides me, instructing them to show that it wasn't just me, it's, you know, it's other people mm-hmm. as well. And just the frustration that, you know, stop talking about me. You know, just because yeah. parents aren't doing what you think they should be doing doesn't mean that they're not discipling their children. Right. And that's the basics of the post.
Yeah. So as you've been looking around on some of the perspectives on Facebook, I think we both agree that we've seen that where it's been a prevailing that parents are failing. We're trying to provide resources, but they're not using our resources or they're not doing it our way. Is that accurate?
Yes. Okay. We kind of want everybody to kind of fit a mold.
Okay.
And they're not kind of fitting the mold we're looking for, or the expectation that we have for them.
Yeah. So do you really think parents are failing in that role, or what's your perspective on this?
To answer if parents are failing, you have to define success.
Okay.
What is success?
Mm-hmm.
To me, success is if the parent is doing their best to teach their children the things of God. They're not going to be Bible scholars, but with the knowledge they have from what they've learned by listening to the pastor, by the things their children are telling them that they've learned, are they doing their best, and are they growing to help their children grow in their walk with the Lord? If they're doing that, then they're being successful. And so I think a lot of people in children's ministry leaders, are looking for a certain standard, expecting everybody to be at a certain level. And if they're not there, then they're failing.
Right.
But when realistically they're doing what they can, and they may need more guidance, that's not a bad thing. Would you rather have a parent come up to you and ask, hey, how should I do this, or just expect them to do it? They're learning like we're learning. So I don't think parents are, I wouldn't blanketly say parents are failing. I would say they're doing the best that they can. Many are doing well, but yeah. we just don't always see what they're doing.
In your blog post, you talk about, you know, when we address the parents' ability to disciple their child, what criteria are we using? What do you think most children's leaders are using for that criteria when they start looking at discipleship and what parents should be doing?
Being very blunt, I think what children's ministry leaders are looking for is, are they coming prepared with what I want to teach them? Mm-hmm. Or what I feel the Lord leading me to teach them?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have their verse memorized in Awana? Do they have that next section prepared? Things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, are you meeting my expectations of what I expect you to do this week? As if they're the only one doing it. You know, in the blog post I reference, if your church has Sunday school and has children's church, which has a different topic,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe Awana or a different midweek program, and we give them three different sets of resources throughout the week, do you expect them to do all three of those? Just one of those? You know, how much discipleship do we expect?
Right.
And you know, do we expect them at all our events, those kind of things? Or can they miss an event and we're okay with that?
Right. Which we know in most circles that's not acceptable, because we do hear a lot of discussion about that statistic out there that if you're showing up to church 2 out of 4 Sundays, you're a regular attender now. And we know that there's that, you know, there's a lot of competition out there kind of things. And so there is this struggle, and it really is almost an unfair standard that we've set, just because many of us are paid to be there or we volunteered to be there every Sunday, that we almost have this chip on our shoulder when everybody else doesn't show up. Like you said, when the doors are open, if we've got three different things, we want the kids to participate fully in all three things. We want them to learn all three things. And often those three things almost compete with each other instead of working in harmony with each other. So then you've got kids going all over the place. And even they're wondering, what am I supposed to learn? So I kind of wonder if we're not making it even harder for children to really be discipled to begin with. Of course, that's probably another whole episode that we could dive into. But I, like I said, I know you in your post, you comment about the struggle about outside activities. And like I said, we know the average attendance, and it's pulling families away. It's making it, quote unquote, harder for families to be there every time the church doors are open. So what do you suggest to a Kidman leader who feels that struggle all the time and are wondering, how do I get these kids? How do I disciple these kids if I only get them 2 Sundays out of the month, or maybe 3 if I'm lucky? What can we do?
That goes back to the question of parents failing. And if children's ministry leaders are focused on the families not being there, then they're seeing parents failing. If these same children's ministry leaders are saying that the parents are the primary spiritual influencers and it's their responsibility to disciple their child, then as a children's ministry leader, who are we to say that they should or shouldn't be in church? Mm-hmm. That they should or shouldn't be in our ministries that way? I get pushback on those kind of statements, but I experienced this firsthand, which again, I mentioned in the blog post. I had a family that was very active in travel ball. And so they would miss several Sundays through the season, and they wouldn't attend planned activities. And so as a children's ministry leader, I have to sit back and say, do I take this personally? Or do I try to embrace that and try to partner with the family, work with the family, express the need for discipleship, but also trust the parents that they're discipling their children at home? And so, like I said, I would go to games as opportunity allowed it to show that I'm still supporting them. And I went to their house and I saw their lifestyle. And just talking to the parents, I knew that their parents were devoted Christians following Jesus the best they knew how. And even though they weren't at the activity or in church that Sunday, I knew the parents were still teaching them that the most important thing, even though they were active in travel ball, wasn't travel ball, it was following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they've grown up into fine young adults that are serving God. And so it's a struggle. We take it personal. And we have to realize that we say we're competing with the world, when really we're not. If we try to compete with the world's got more resources. Well, We think they have more resources, but God can give us what we need. And it's trusting the parents. Are we going to trust the parents to disciple their children? Now, at the same time, we don't just kind of throw it away. You know, we talk to the parents, and the key thing is partnering with the parents, and we talk with them and give them resources as we're able to. And again, in this case, in the church I was at, it was a family service. And when they would attend those, they would take that and they would apply that through the week. And I mean, I got a text message one time. They went to a place and sent me a picture, which related to the message that Sunday, the previous Sunday. Uh-huh. So I knew the family, even though they were involved in outside activities, were being discipled. So, children's ministry leaders, are we telling the parents, it's your responsibility, you take care of it, we're going to be hands-off? Do we want to partner with them? Or do we just kind of say, hey, no, you've got to be here and be a part of what we're doing in the church? Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't say the church, you know, you're responsible, but you need to be here so I can teach your kids.
Right.
There needs to be that balance. And so I don't see that balance a lot in children's ministry circles and in the talk. It's like, it's their responsibility, but we need you to be here. Well, you know.
Right. And I think that's the thing, is that I think maybe that's where we're failing as leaders, is that we're not helping families know, how do I disciple my kids away from the church? There's still that mindset, send them to us, even though we, you know, I hear it, you know, that in children's ministry circles, that's the evil taboo, is no, we don't want to say that we're owning it, And we are the primary disciplers, but yet I think secretly we do. We're grabbing onto that mantle and saying, yes, very proudly, we will disciple your children, and we want to partner with you, but our partnership goes as far as a take-home page or pointing them to an app or a video and saying, well, here, watch these. And I think I personally am growing of the opinion that if we're going to help families win, we've got to show them how to win Monday through Saturday. We've got to take that mentality that, like you point out, and like I don't want to reveal all of your blog posts because I want people to go to read it. But I agree with you on Deuteronomy 6 of how it was written to a faith community, and we've not pushed that hard enough that it's the faith community. We use Deuteronomy 6 to slap parents over the head to say you're the primary faith giver. Yes. I agree. I think parents have the most amount of time with children. That's statistically true. But the church our job is to equip the saints to do what? The work of the ministry, right?
Right. And I don't know about you, but I remember years ago in churches that have baby dedications, it wasn't, it's the parents coming saying, I'm going to raise this child to know the Lord the best that I can. And it used to also be a charge to the church,
yes,
to walk alongside of this family to help them teach this child the things of God. And that doesn't seem to be the case now. Nobody's kind of say, hey, parents, you're on your own.
Yeah, yeah. And then we complain because the parents aren't doing it our way.
Right.
Would you agree, maybe I'm off my rocker, but I think, I'm hoping you'll agree. If not, I'm going to end this podcast. No, just kidding. But I personally think, as I'm developing more of a philosophy on this, as I've been studying and researching and asking questions of other leaders and of parents, I personally think the church needs to get on the horse now, or we're going to really lose this next generation of, we've got to help parents know how to win at home. We've got to show them, here's how you can leverage your time. We need to show them how to live out Deuteronomy 6, that when they're walking down the road and when they're lying around, when they're off wherever, each of those parts of Deuteronomy 6 where they're supposed to be teaching their children, we should be showing them how that happens in the 2000s, And I don't think we're doing that well enough. I think we're just throwing papers at them and apps, and we're not showing parents how to use any of that.
We need to sit down with the parents and talk to them. And that's the key, is communications and relationships. I've done that myself. When I've worked with parents, I've partnered with parents and had a big impact on the kids. And that's just really the key. It's not to say, here, like you say, here's a piece of paper, take care of it. No, it's knowing the family, like you know the kids. And if they're into baseball, go watch baseball, go talk baseball. You've got leaders that are big, can name every stat, but they're not studying the memory verse.
Mm-hmm.
It's leaders setting an example. And like I said, just showing it. And it says, it doesn't have to be A, B, C. But just take time to just talk to your kids about the things of God. My whole thing is, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. If you really believe he's involved in your life, you should be able to share times in your life where you see God having an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to look around and see God in different things and just share it in a natural conversation, whether you're in the car, at a baseball game, or in a deep Bible study, It's just being aware of God's presence around you.
Yeah. So do you think if a children's pastor had come to you, or an Awana leader had come to you back in the day when you were raising your kids and said, hey, Bill, I can show you how, even with your busy schedule, how you could help your kids pass this next section. Or, hey, Bill, I could show you how how when you're taking your kid to the soccer game this weekend, how you could log into this one website and you can watch the Bible story video with your kids, and we'll even give you some questions that you could talk about. Do you think that would have helped you?
I wasn't. My kids didn't play many sports, and when my daughters played basketball, I was the coach, being a part of their life. And my kids did pretty well in Awana. If my child was struggling, and a leader came to me and said, "Hey, this is one. These are a couple things you can do," and I provided resources, it might help me. But at the same time, if you don't say anything, you're not helping them at all.
There you go.
And I'm an old man, and so there wouldn't have been an app back then. But to provide those types of things, to know that they're there, I think is key.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, whether the parent uses them or not, it falls on them.
Right.
But it's a matter of providing what resources you can. And when you're in the case of Awana, if you're talking to a parent about how to do these things, it's also sharing encouragement about what their child did do, what they've accomplished, mm-hmm. and how they can, you know, they can grow more. You know, it's all with the walk with the Lord. Sharing what they could do to walk better. This will help them with their walk in the Lord. And he just would have had more impact than a leader come up to me and say, "Hey, your child needs your help because they're not doing anything and it's your fault."
Mm. Yeah.
You know, those kind of things.
Yeah. Now, I want to throw another wrinkle into our discussion because you mentioned in your blog post that, because I think sometimes kidmin leaders think, well, if I could just get the parents involved, get them serving, get them doing stuff in my ministry, that will change everything. You kind of have a different opinion on some of that. So tell me what you think about that.
Just because they're serving, well, okay, children's ministry leaders say, well, they want them to serve in their ministry, but they complain that they're not discipling at home. And I find it difficult for a leader to say, "Hey, come help me, even though you can't teach your own kids." And again, my reference at this point is Awana, but it could be any other ministry as well. I've seen kids in Awana whose parents are pushing them to meet a specific goal, to memorize as much as they can, to do everything that they can, or, you know, and it's having certain parameters that they have to meet. And I've seen these kids struggling and doing the best that they can, and leaders working with them the best that they can. And I don't know if the parents helping them at home or not, but the parents pushing them. They're involved in saying, "Hey, you got to get this done." And I've seen kids with like a fear on their face when their parent comes picks them up because they didn't accomplish everything.
Mm-hmm.
And look at disappointment on the parent's face. And so you can encourage parents to be involved, and they may take it to an extreme that, well, if they do everything, then I've been a good parent. But that's not the case, because you're putting undue stress and pressure on the child, which can hurt them.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful and kind of watch and be more specific about what you're saying and what kind of, you know, help that you're seeking.
Okay.
With the parents.
Good. Good. Well, you know, as we kind of get ready to wrap up this episode a little bit, but I want to ask you for some words of encouragement for leaders who are struggling in this area. That, you know, because I do think we as leaders need to do a real heart check on this, and have we developed too much of a cynicism towards parents rather than a partnership? Rather than really trying to connect with parents' hearts and encourage them and lift them up and cheer them on, to tell them enough that they are doing a great job with their kids and then helping them along the way when they get stuck, or when they don't know where to turn. What would you say to help encourage those kidmin leaders listening to really get in there and partner with parents? What kind of things do you see could happen or need to happen?
Like I said, the partner with parents, there needs to be two people involved, the children's ministry leader and the parents. And sometimes the parents won't want a partner. They'll say they're too busy or something. And at that point, all you can do is provide them with what you can. You pray for them, provide them support. But you do what you can, like I said before, to communicate with them, to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm here for your child. One thing I've done for years is, you know, go watch the kids in their sports activities, school play, just whatever activity they're in outside of church. When I do that, I'm usually sitting next to the parents. I can talk to the parents, let them know I care about their child, not just in the four walls of the church. And make that phone call, have that communication with them outside. And I'll give you two examples.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young man who was on the autism spectrum, and they were coming with a TSS, therapeutic support staff. And so I kind of laid back and let the other person take care of it. And the parent were struggling, we were struggling, because I kind of yielded to the TSS, the expert in that case. And we didn't talk that much to the TSS. And so I called the parent and I said, hey, let's get together and let's talk. And I said, what can we do to help your child succeed?
Uh-huh.
And I listened to the parent, and we talked and worked out a plan. The TSS didn't come anymore, and we were able to work together and help that child succeed in that children's ministry, working together with the parent. Again, referencing Awana, if I was helping them memorize a verse, I would tell the parent, this is what we were doing to help them to work on the verse, so the parent could continue that at home, whatever pattern, whatever method we were using. And another case, you might remember this because we did a summer, we used to do camp together.
Mm-hmm.
There was one year I had a young man, his second year at camp, did not want to come. And he was coming kicking and screaming, literally kicking and screaming to camp. And I knew that. And I'm like, what do I do? I mean, we buddied him up to somebody. But again, the key with this is I talked to the parents. And I knew what they were telling him at home, what they were teaching him at home. And I could take what they were talking about. And when he struggled, I could say, look, this is why you were struggling. I was watching you, and this is what I saw. And then I could translate that and move into what his parents were telling him before he came and combine those together. And then prayed with him. And after that point, he said things changed and he had a great week. And he was fine after that point. Without knowing what the parent was saying, it wouldn't have had the same impact.
Yeah.
But because I had that communication with the parent, I partnered with the parent. I didn't say, hey, this is how I would do it. I partnered with the parent and pigtailed, you know, dovetailed off of what they were saying, what they were talking about.
Yeah.
To impact their child. And so if you don't know what's happening in the home, you don't know what the parents are talking about, teaching their kids, take some time and just talk to the parents and say, hey. Now, again, if you're in a large church, that could be difficult knowing all the parents, but that's why you have leaders underneath of you,
there you go,
that are serving.
Yep.
If you have small groups, that's what the small group leader should be doing.
Yes.
Reaching out to these families and saying, hey, we care about your child, not just this half hour, 45 minutes or so that they're here, but we care about your child, what they're doing, and we want to help you succeed and grow closer to the Lord. How can we do that?
Wow. That's some good stuff, Bill. And I hope, especially, well, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving in Kidman, you just got some wise words there. Get outside the building. Get into people's homes. Get messy. Stop worrying about all your programs. Let your pastors know, hey, I'm going to get out into the world for a while, and maybe you've got to hand off some things, or maybe you got to call on some of your small group leaders or your Sunday school teachers or whatever you have and say, here's a list of kids. Make a phone call. Talk to their parents tonight for 5 minutes and let them know you're there and if there's anything that you need or you could pray for them for. Show up at one of their kids' games. There's a blog post I believe you did where you skipped church one Sunday and you shared about that of going out to somebody. Yes, take a Sunday off and go find out if you've got a bunch of kids involved in a soccer tournament and it's in your town and you can get there, then by all means, take a Sunday off and go hang out. Show up.
I actually left Owana on a Wednesday night to go watch kids in a school band performance. It happened on a Wednesday night. It was close by. I made sure things were running fine. I left. I showed up at the school. And you should have seen the look in their eyes, mm-hmm. in their faces, mm-hmm. when I walked in, and they're like, shouldn't you be somewhere?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I should be here supporting your kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they're in my program, the church that night, they're still important.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I know, because I can hear somebody saying, well, but I'm only the only person and I don't have a lot of people and I can barely get my leaders to show up and study their lessons. So how can I ask them to do more? Well, if you never raise the bar, then that's where they're going to stay. They're going to stay sitting on the ground. They're never going to fly if you don't raise the bar up into the sky a little bit and challenge them.
I was in a church plant and I made sure I went to visit the kids and I was the one. My wife and I were the ones Sunday morning. I mean, we didn't leave a Sunday morning at that point to go see kids. But we made sure we saw them in their different activities. Mm-hmm. And in the, like I said, new church, meeting new people, and the impact when you have a parent say, wow, you really care about the kids.
Exactly.
We had one more story. We had somebody, frozen turkey as the bowling ball, and you bowl with a frozen turkey. It's pretty awesome. One year we had somebody who had an appendicitis attack like the week before, and it was kind of scary. It was touch and go for a while. And so they missed that activity. So after we get the turkey bowl at the church, we stopped by. We bought a small Cornish game hen. We stuck some pins into the hospital, got permission of the staff on the floor she was on, and we let her do some turkey bowling.
Sweet.
With the Cornish game hen. What she missed, so she didn't miss out.
Yeah.
She was still able to do it. And her grandparents were there at that point and had a huge impact because we cared about them. And it wasn't anything huge, any big biblical lesson. We were there.
Yeah. And see, that blows, I know you're going to blow people's minds, but that's discipleship.
It is.
So I want to challenge our listeners. You know, I think Andy Stanley made this quote famous: "Do for a few what you wish you could do for many."
Mm-hmm.
So get your list of kids and start taking one by one. Everybody can do that. I don't care. It may take some sacrifice. You may have to change some things or drop some things. But to me, this is important because if you want to partner with parents, if you want to win their hearts, show up unexpectedly somewhere. Make that phone call. Make a text message. Do something that lets parents know you're for them and you're cheering them on. But let's, as a community, make a commitment to stop the negativity online. I think that's one of my biggest things right now is I would love to see the discussion center about what we can do for parents and what they are doing rather than what they're not doing and how our standards aren't being met. Maybe we need to start changing what we're thinking and doing, not the parents changing up for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, thanks so much. I know I want to promote your site and the things that you're doing. You've got a couple different adventures that you're doing, and I know you have a heart for small church pastors, kids ministry workers, volunteers. So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing.
So in the last couple of years, I've always been a volunteer for most of my ministry life, except for a short time when I got a small stipend. And I was raised in a small church, served as a children's pastor in a small church, and my heart goes out to those serving in small churches because a lot of times things are targeted, discussions are had for the large church, and you may post in a Facebook group and get all these large church answers. You know, build your team. Well, me and my wife are my team. those kind of things. And so I started smallchurchkidman.com from the website smallchurchkidman.com. And it's just to try to build support and encouragement and start providing resources for those serving in a small church, because they're so often neglected. You know, at conferences, yep. You know, it's expensive to go to a conference. They don't have budgets for it. And just letting them know that they're not doing something wrong just because they're small.
Right.
You know, God's got them where they are for a reason.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks, Bill, for sharing your heart. What other ways on social media can people touch base with you?
Like I said, you got smartshirtskidman.com, most known for commanderbill.net. Either of those, they can get me with a contact us form on either of the sites. And then, of course, there's Twitter, which I don't use too much, but it's at commanderbill and at smchurchkidman for Small Church Kidman. And again, you can link those off of the main websites as well. So you can find me all over the place in different ways.
And you're active on the KMC Facebook group, so you can always tag him in a discussion there. And you can be sure to post your comments on there. So, Bill, thanks again, man, for being on this episode. We're certainly blessed to have you as part of the KMC community. And I want to do another series again on some small church issues and things. So we'll be looking forward to getting a couple of those episodes in the can here soon to help. But I want to tell people that if you need some coaching, if you need some help, feel free to reach out to Bill or reach out to myself. We would be more than happy to set up a phone call or a Skype call and talk things through with you so you don't feel like you're alone out there. If you're wrestling with this, how do I partner with parents and what does that look like on a small church level or a medium-sized church level or a large church level? We've got the experience. We would love to help you. So if that can do that, but again, as a community, especially, I know I'll be watching it hard on the KMC, but on other Facebook groups, let's, as a kid ministry community, as a family ministry community, as a community of faith, let's change the discussion. Let's change the tone and let's start changing lives because of our hearts changing. So may God bless you. May you keep iron sharpening iron, and we'll look forward to having another episode of the Kid Ministry Collective real soon.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.